And good evening, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk on this Thursday. I'm Scott Beatty, alongside Matt Daniels and Lauren Tate. We are live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign, 2001 South Neal. Come out and join us. This is the place to be for March Madness because we are immersed in televisions that are broadcasting the first round of the NCAA tournament, and there are several games already in the books. And maybe your brackets are intact still. Maybe they're already starting to get disrupted. We have our first upset of the day, gentlemen, although anybody who was a Rambler fan didn't feel like it was an upset, as Loyola beats Miami 64-62. Dante Ingram, former Danville player, hits the go-ahead shot with just tenths to go in the game.
Yeah, the star for Loyola, former Danville product, spent his first two seasons with the Vikings before transferring to Chicago Simeon. It's kind of been one of their leaders throughout this entire run, and hit a memorable shot about a half hour ago that has Loyola going on to the second round.
Their first NCAA victory in the tournament since 1985.
Yeah, and another Simeon player made a big basket for Gonzaga at the end. Norvell hit a three-pointer as they had a one-point lead. They hit two three-pointers late, and he hit the second one. Norvell played for Simeon also. It's interesting. Those Simeon guys still keep popping up, but the Simeon team won't be in the state tournament this year. They just got beat.
And Gonzaga win over UNC Greensboro 68-64. Also, the first Big Ten victory of the NCAA tournament, Ohio State over South Dakota State 81-73. It was close for a good portion of that, so the Buckeyes will get the aforementioned Bulldogs from Gonzaga, and I don't know how to pick that one. I put Gonzaga in my bracket, but I really was flipping a coin.
Yeah, Gonzaga struggled against UNC Greensboro. It was down two with less than 90 seconds to go before coming through with a big win. And Ohio State, I know that was a pretty favorable pick for a lot of people to upset a lot of for their brackets, just with South Dakota State, that classic 12-5 game. But Chris Holtman's crew got it done, and now it's on to face a very tough Gonzaga team. I think Gonzaga probably has the edge in that one, but it's almost a toss-up game at this point.
I keep being all more and more interested about how coaches talking about running our offense, and I look out there and I just see guys shooting threes. You know what? I think Oklahoma lost today because Young took several threes from 35 feet that were just outrageous. Why would he do that? He's such a good driver. He's such a good feeder. He's such a good player. And yet, I think the reason they lost the game was ill-advised shots by him.
And I think teams that rely a lot on the three tend not to do as well in the tournament. You can get hot in a game or two, but that seems a tough thing to ride because at the end of the day, though three-point shooting has gotten better over the years, it's still a tough shot to make under pressure.
It goes in spurts, and that's the thing. You can win two games, and all of a sudden you go 4-for-20 from three, and you lose the game, and then you're out of it.
Boy, if Illinois had only made a few more threes back in 2005 over UNC.
They shot enough of them.
That's right. Rhode Island over Oklahoma, 81-79. It was an overtime win. They hold seed there as the 7 seed over the 10. Duke over Iona, 89-67. Kansas advances, beating Penn by 16 points, 76-60. And those are the ones in the books. Seton Hall leads NC State just by three right now. Second half, 8-10 to go in that one. Many more tonight.
How'd you think Underwood did?
I didn't get the chance to watch him. I was at work, Lauren.
Scott?
We didn't have the volume on.
I only saw the screen grabs. Yeah. I never saw him live.
How'd he do, Lauren?
He surprised me with the amount of knowledge he knew about teams we didn't play. I mean, he really did.
Well, he's
now, he might
seen
have studied
half
that.
The conferences already in the last 3 years.
That too, but I think also probably he boned up on the teams he was going to talk about. He really knew a lot about North Carolina State, for example. And I thought, boy, I wonder when he learned that. But he knew about them.
Yeah, Brad Underwood, if you missed it on TV for the television package on TNT, and True TV and CBS and all that, is a studio analyst along with his buddy Frank Martin from South Carolina. So Brad Underwood made it to the tourney one way or another.
Yeah, he'll be on tomorrow as well, so another chance to check him out.
Not an entirely happy – well, it's a bittersweet day for Illinois basketball, finding out the rumor has proved official that LaRon Black wants to go pro. The leading scorer for Illinois this year will not return for his final year of eligibility. He's getting married. He has graduated undergrad. He led the team in 15 points plus per game, more than 5 rebounds per game. Really became a whole new level of player in this system under Brad Underwood, and he wants to go make some money, probably overseas. He's not an NBA player. It's great for him. I mean, Brad Underwood talked about you want to see this happen regularly. This is what you want out of your program, guys achieving their dreams and going pro, but it's already a depleted front court for the Illini. Listen, I don't care how many great guards come in next year. If you go out and recruit every top guard in the country, there's nobody big down there right now that gives me any confidence.
Well, they're going to put a lot of emphasis on the fifth-year guys at other schools. I think the number one guy on their list right now is Jordan Caroline. And actually, Jordan Caroline, if you rank the two players, Black and Caroline, Caroline's probably a better player. He averaged about 18 points, but he's a much better rebounder. And a better passer, I think, than that. And the guy we got coming in on the 25th, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Georgie's
his first name. I practiced on the last name today, and I got it, but I'm afraid to try it right now. But anyway, he's about 6'9 to 6'10, and they like him an awful lot. And if they get him, they'll at least have somebody to put out there.
Yeah.
And the one thing about recruiting him now is that the position's open. Mm-hmm. You know, you can explain to him, hey, the four is open.
Yeah. So it's bittersweet to see a player like Laurent Black go, just because of the strides that he made and the progress that he had in this first year with Brad Underwood. But you can't fault him, I don't think, either for leaving. He's got his degree. He's getting married. I think it's more of a financial decision for him, and by no means is he a lock to get drafted in the NBA. I'd be surprised if he is picked in the NBA draft come June, but he's going to make a nice living right away out of college, playing overseas most likely. And, you know, maybe his game progresses to the point where in a couple of years he's got a chance in an NBA roster. But I think – I don't know what else he could do at Illinois given what he did this season. Obviously, he's a huge loss for next year's team just because he provided them consistent scoring throughout this past season. But now it's on Brad Underwood and his staff to find replacements and to shore up the roster.
It's normal for players to leave college now with eligibility remaining. Mm-hmm. The problem is that if they leave Duke and Kentucky, they're easily replaceable.
Yeah.
The problem with Illinois is when you lose Nick Anderson and when you lose Harper and when you lose, any player like that, you just can't replace them. Illinois doesn't have that going for them in the recruiting business. And, I don't know how – it's really going to be hard to replace Black, obviously. So that we're stuck.
He never brought as much, I think, as you wanted rebounding, but he found a way this year to make a shot. He was making all kinds of tough shots, and he made them consistently with ice water in his veins.
Yeah, and he avoided foul problems this past season, which really plagued him his first 2 years on the court, and his scoring just increased exponentially this season. And he wasn't that double-double threat every night, but he could pull down his fair share of rebounds as well. And once he got in the mid-range and that elbow jumper there, as soon as it was released, you pretty much knew it was going in because that was pretty automatic for the last half of the season.
There's another tournament the Illini are in, and that is the NCAA National Championships for Wrestling. Top-ranked Isaiah Martinez today advancing with no trouble over his opponent. He's the top in the 165-pound class. And he beats up on Zachary Carson of Eastern Michigan. The final score was a lot to a little. I just lost it here.
20-5 technical fall.
There you go. And he will now wrestle tonight against Jonathan Chavez of Cornell. He's number 17 in the bracket. And he's 17th ranked, the number 16 seed. Then Mike Carr also advancing. He will face the number 6 seed Dean Heil of Oklahoma State tonight. Carr is in the 141-pound bracket. Travis Piotrowski, Dylan Duncan, and Emery Parker all lost their matches, so they go into the consolations. So session two tonight for Illinois Wrestling. And Isaiah Martinez, a chance at a third national championship in 4 years. Sad news for the world of college baseball, and a former Illinois baseball coach, Augie Garrido, has passed away. He was the winningest coach in Division I baseball, had a 48-year career. His last 20 was at the University of Texas, but from 1988 to 1990, he was the head coach of Illinois before Itch Jones took over, led the Illini to two Big Ten titles, tournament titles also, and two NCAA appearances. And he went back to Cal State Fullerton and remains one of the few coaches in any sport in college to have won national titles at two different schools. Did it with Texas.
Multiple.
And Cal State Fullerton. Didn't do it in Illinois, but kind of turned Illinois, turned him into a winning program.
Well, he did. He brought players from California with him. When he came from Fullerton, he brought some really top players, and he had a home run hitter in Smith. He had some pitchers. He didn't go in empty-handed. He's a great recruiter.
Yeah, so a sad day for the world of college baseball. He passed away this morning. Texas putting that out, and passed away at the age of 79. Speaking of Illinois baseball, tomorrow no game for them. Anticipated rain down in Carbondale, so they'll play a doubleheader Saturday at noon against the Salukis. Sunday's 1 o'clock game will wrap up the series. All of them will be on DWS. Cubs release right-handed reliever Justin Grimm. Had his best season in 2015. NFL, the Vikings secure a 3-year deal with Kirk Cousins for him to be their quarterback. Alex Smith gets an extension with the Washington Redskins. That is some of the headlines going on here today. Another Illinois team in a national championship game. The club hockey team finished second the other night, falling to Adrian College, but had a great run. And we are going to talk to the head coach of Illini Hockey. Nick Fabrini's been on our program before. He's brought along his goalie as well. So look out. You may get checked against the boards here. We are at Scotty's Brew House. There are TVs full of March Madness games going on right now. Stop on by to watch the games. Have a good one. Have a good drink. It's beers, burgers, all kinds of good stuff. There are 64 large screen TVs here and 36 beers on tap. And we are here today and 1 week from today as well for our final live show from here at Scotty's Brew House. They've been great hosts to us, and it's a pretty good crowd out here to watch March Madness. Back with Nick Fabrini and David Helfin from Illini Hockey when we return.
You can listen to DWS on Amazon Echo. Just say, Alexa, play WDWS.
Sports Talk at Scotty's Brewhouse, 2001 South Neal in Champaign. I'm Scott Beatty, no relation to Scotty. And Lauren Tate and Matt Daniels here as well every Thursday at Scotty's. Enjoy all-day $2 well drinks, half-price cheese pizza, and $2 cans of select beer and $4 margaritas. March Madness is on TV. Brad Underwood is on TV in studio. We are here, and we're switching gears from basketball to hockey. Nick Fabrini is here, head coach of the club hockey team for Illinois, along with senior goalie David Helfin. I said Helfin before. My apologies, sir.
No worries.
Coming off a second-place finish in the nation. The national championship was two nights ago now, and you're back. I know you'd rather be back as national champs, but second place ain't bad. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We had a great run in the tournament, and the boys really battled and grinded all the way to the national championship game. We just came up a little bit short.
What do you think was the best part of your run here in the tournament? What made this team special to you?
I think it was our resiliency. You know, we had tough matchups in every game. Jamestown swept us here in Champaign earlier in the year, and were a tough draw for us just from a matchup perspective. But we were able to score two shorthanded goals in the third period to win. Which led us to Ohio, was a league rival, and which was essentially a home game for them. And for us to be able to battle and score an overtime game winner there made that really special before we were able to take down the number one team, Minot State, in the semifinals.
Nick, what's it like for a club hockey team like you have? Maybe give our listeners kind of a peek into what the difference is between your sport and a full-fledged Division One hockey team at all.
First thing, and probably the biggest thing, is the level of school support and funding. We don't get any financial support from the university, and we don't get preferential treatment in terms of academics. Mm-hmm. All of our players have to get in on their own as students, and then balance a full-time course load without the additional academic services that the D1 athletes here get. So I think they really are true student athletes.
David, what's that like? How do you go to your professors and be like, hey, I've got to go to a hockey tournament for 5 days at all?
It's not easy. we have all our class schedule, like Nick was saying, and then we got to be able to make it to practice every day. And so for us, it's just putting our teeth to the grindstone and just getting the job done. You know, we got to we got to take care of our academics, but at the same time, we got to make sure we're doing doing what we got to do on the ice too.
David, you're from Mundelein. You transferred from which school?
Wisconsin River Falls.
So you transferred to Illinois. What brought you here to play club hockey for Nick Fabrini and Illinois?
So for me, I was when I was at River Falls, I went there pretty much purely for hockey. Mm-hmm. And then as like my first year went, I didn't get to play. And then my second year, I didn't really get much opportunity then. And so, you know, I kind of just sat down with my parents and I was like, hey, you know, what's the best option for me here? I think, and then we came across, I actually had talked to Coach Fabo here a few times before I actually made the decision to transfer here that year. Because after my first year at River Falls, we actually talked about me coming, but I ended up wanting to stay just to kind of give that extra chance because at the time they had a senior goaltender leaving. At the end of the day, I sat down with my parents and I told them, I was like, hey, I think it's time that I'd start looking elsewhere, not just for hockey, but for an academics and setting myself up for the future. And so it just kind of all worked out that way that we have a great club hockey program here, and we also have, that's also a great school for academics.
We are talking with David Heflin. He's senior goalie for the club hockey team and coach Nick Fabrini. They just finished second in the nation. David, I got to ask you, because when you go to Illinois hockey games, the fans are notorious for getting on the opposing goalie, yelling some things. Some of it we can't say here. Some of it we can. But basically, I remember one, it's all your fault is one of the chants. Does that still happen? It's all
yes,
your fault
yes,
when the opposing goalie gives up a goal. Do you experience that on the road? Does that get in your head ever?
I just in the past it's happened. Honestly, I can't. I really just focused on my game at the time, and there's people on the glass that like bang pennies or something that just try to get inside your head. But there's definitely stuff you hear from the fans. But you know, at the end of the day, it's just got to be. I just got to worry about stopping the puck, and so I try not to let those kind of things bother me when I'm out there.
If a group of people are yelling at me, it's all your fault. I'd go, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Nick, I got to ask you. A lot of talk about hockey at the varsity level. Do you see that as happening? Do you think it's going to happen?
I really hope so, Lauren. I think that that would be a sport that the U of I could not only support from a fan perspective, as we have a great fan base now, doing most of our own marketing and quite frankly not having a bunch of future NHL players on the roster. I think it's a men's sport that we could compete in, year out for Big Ten and for national championships.
Can you visualize how this is going to work with two gymnastics teams playing there, a volleyball team,
wrestling,
and ice down? They're going to have to cover the ice and then uncover the – I mean, I think it'd just be – and they're all winter sports. They're all going on at the same time. I'm trying to figure out how that would work.
That's a good question, and that's
where you are now. You've got ice there all the time, right?
We sure do. Yeah, we unfortunately though it's just one sheet of ice for the entire community here in town, which makes it really difficult for all the groups who use it to get the ice that they need and could utilize. So
yeah, but the trick of the current ice rink is it's in use all the time, right? So even though it's just ice right now, you've got a lot of traffic on it, right?
Oh yeah, the rink staff there does a great job. They're open pretty much from 6 a.m. to midnight almost every day, and the ice is in use, whether it's kinesiology classes at the university or our practice or youth hockey or even broom ball and synchronized skating and things like that. The ice is in use pretty much all day.
Nick Fabrini is the head coach of Club Illini Hockey, and David Heflin is the senior goalie. They just finished second in the nation.
Nick, did you have a feeling or was there a moment this season that you kind of thought this team could be special and go on this run that they went on?
Honestly, I told them back at our banquet at the end of last year that I thought that this year had the opportunity to be something really special with the group that we had coming back and coming in also. And really from day one, I know the belief that myself and Pierce Butler, my assistant coach, had in this team is that we were a top five team. We didn't necessarily always play like that, especially through the end of October and November where we hit a little bit of a rough stretch, but once we got healthy at semester and got a couple additions at semester with a transfer and a player deciding to come back, we really turned the corner, and I think that's when they started to believe as a group.
David, what's Nick like as a coach?
He likes to yell. Through all the rink's pretty big, you know, it's got that extra 30 feet or so. But his voice can still fill the building no matter how big it gets.
What's the maddest he's gotten at you?
I'm sorry?
What's the most maddest that he's gotten at you?
Honestly, I don't think he's never really given me that look too much this year. But it's been
a finished second in the country. You can't get mad at
not the goalie. No, we need him.
What's the motivation for you and your teammates, David? Because you're putting in a lot of heart and soul and time into a sport that isn't giving back in terms of a scholarship or necessarily a future professional career in hockey. What drives you guys?
It's just got to come from yourself, honestly. It's how much you want to put in, and then that's basically what you get out. So for us, we just got to make sure that we're focused every day, coming to the rink and doing what we got to do to take care of those things. And so the motivation there is just having the will to do it yourself and not let something like scholarships or something like be the reason why you're not going to give your full effort.
Nick, if varsity hockey is added at Illinois, which if it does, it wouldn't start until the 21-22 school year at all, how would that affect your program at all?
I think what makes Illini hockey as it is currently so special is the fact that there is no varsity program. We are sort of the only game in town in that perspective. So I think that things would change a little bit in terms of how we would operate and how, frankly, what the level of interest would be from the community. So it'd be really interesting to see, but I think I think everybody associated with the program wants more than anything is for the program to move to the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. I have to commend you on that, and maybe I'm missing something because, you know, obviously if that happened, you kind of alluded to it, you probably would get overshadowed. You know, if you've got one chance to go see some hockey and you have the choice between club and Division One, and I mean no disrespect, people are probably going to go that way, but you've been a cheerleader for this, and I find that admirable.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's kind of a funny position to be in when the thing you want most for your program very likely means I could be out of a job and have to find something else to do. But, you know, I think that being an alumni of the university and the program and talking with guys in the similar situations every day, it makes so much sense, and I think would really bring a lot of pride to those of us that have pushed the sled this far and gotten the program to this point.
Were you asked for your input in that study that, surprise, said that Illinois would be successful with hockey here?
I did. I met with Warren Hood and a gentleman from the NHL back in September or October, I believe, both in my capacity as the coach here and as the director of the youth hockey organization here in town also.
Nick, you mentioned off the air just this weekend you're going to go out recruiting. What's it like for you when you go on a recruiting trip? What are you selling to these hockey players at all?
Well, what we've sold to this point is the college experience. As you may or may not have noticed, our roster is comprised entirely of Illinois players. And there's sort of a method to that. With the lack of ability to give scholarships, in-state players are really the ones who get the most value. A lot of Division III schools cost upwards of $30,000 or $40,000 a year to attend, and that's something that's an area that we can compete in terms of price. So those are the players that we go after.
You know, most people that analyze this thing figure that hockey would soon become the third sport, the third money-making sport at the University of Illinois. The other sports don't make any money. I just wonder, that being the case, what you think about this whole discussion of the players should be paid.
David, are you okay with that?
I wouldn't mind it.
you think they should be paid, don't you?
I'll take some money.
I mean, that's a really good question, Lauren. I think that there's certainly a lot to be said for what they do receive in terms of scholarships and now with the added cost of attendance. But I think it's hard to justify that coaches are making $8 to $10 million a year and for putting in just as much time and effort as the kids do. So I think that it's a delicate situation for sure.
David, do you feel that this community as a whole is kind of just a sleeping giant per se for hockey and the passion? And if the sport were ever to be added as a varsity sport, based on your experiences, you know, with the club program at all?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like this would be a great place to have a hockey team. I mean, obviously, you guys, we were talking about our fans here and the harassing Illini, and you guys were saying about the support that they give us. And it's not just the harassing Illini. There's multiple, like, families and such that show up to the games every weekend. And it's just, it's always, you always see those familiar faces. And on top of that, after I had my little injury at the end of the year, I was doing homework in the lobby while we were practicing, and a family came up to me, and their kid actually drew me a get well picture. And I think that just goes to show that if we're getting that kind of support just from the club team, imagine what you can get when you bring a varsity team to Champaign here.
David, have you played your final college hockey game?
I have. That is correct.
How do you feel?
I can't tell you, honestly. It's really... hasn't quite settled in. I've realized it, but it hasn't officially settled in that I'm no longer going to be putting on the pads anymore for like the real deal, I would guess you would want to say.
There might be folks listening right now with little kids and they may have thought, oh, that might be interesting, or I might want to try hockey. How do you go about doing that? Where would you send them, especially in this area?
So actually, we have a pretty booming youth program here in town, the Champaign-Urbana Youth Hockey Association. We have a Minor Hawks program that's an introduction to hockey that comes with equipment included and 8 weeks of ice for something like $80, I think.
What's the age?
5 to 9. And then we have a house league that goes all the way up to 12, that they're on the ice 3 days a week, pretty much all season long. And both of those have anywhere from 50 to 60 kids involved every session.
How many high schools play hockey up in the Chicago area?
I want to say that there's something like 40 pure high school teams, and then there's an additional 15 to 20 combined high schools that may not have enough players to form a team on their own, so they'll combine with a few local high schools to roster a full team.
Guys, we really appreciate you stopping by. David, congratulations on a fine career, and I know you wanted to go out on top, but I think you have plenty to hang your hat on for finishing second in the country. And, Nick, appreciate you making some time for us. This has been a couple times now we've been talking here on the program. Really appreciate it. So,
thanks for having us, guys. We're happy to be here.
Thank you very much.
Hope you get some recovery time. I know you got to go out and recruit, Nick. But you got spring break coming up, right?
Yeah, I got spring break coming up. I'm real excited.
Enjoy it. All right, we will take our own break here. We're at Scotty's Brew House. We are surrounded by televisions. March Madness going on. Come on out. See us here, take in the action. We've got more basketball talk when we return. It's Sports Talk on this Thursday.
This is Brian Barnhart. Join me on Friday morning at Open Line to close out the week 9 to 11. Hit it for your thoughts tomorrow on DWS.
We're at Scotty's Brew House for today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm Scott Beatty alongside the editor of IlliniHQ.com and the News Gazette sports page, Matt Daniels, and the legendary Lauren Tate is here as well. Come on out to Scotty's Brew House here. Another Thursday special is $4 pints and $10 Bud Light pitchers. And every Monday through Thursday, Scotty's features $4 house margaritas. Also, really good food that keeps walking by here. I'm glad at 6 o'clock I get to go home and have dinner because I'm getting hungry. Lauren, Tuesday night, we shuffled up our lineup this week so you could go see E.J. Liddell play. What did you see?
Well, I saw arguably, you know, debate between he and Talen Horton Tucker, the best player in the state. I don't know which one's better because I haven't seen Talen Horton Tucker. But I've been watching Liddell for 2 years and seen several of his games this year and several of his games last year. And he had 26 and 4 blocks the other night, which is low blocks for him. He averages 6. The last time I saw him, he got 9. He's just a heck of a player. He's 6'7". He's a top player. He's not going to be a four-year player, okay? He's special. And I don't care where they got him ranked. You know, nationally, they're just missing the boat on him entirely. I think Joe Henrichsen had an article in just in the last day or two where he said he thinks he's the best player. And I felt like he was, except that I'm told that Taylor Horton Tucker just had a heck of a senior year at Simeon, and we were looking forward to seeing him play in the state tournament.
And
now
they lost
Simeon
to Young
won't
on,
be there.
On Tuesday night. How I know, Lauren, you saw Liddell last year down in Collinsville at the sectional down there. How has he evolved from his sophomore year to where he's at now?
He's the same player.
Okay.
I saw him in two games down there. Last year he got 77 points, 43 and 34. And he's the same player now, so assume he's better. But I mean, he was terrific when I saw him last year, and he's terrific the two times I've seen him this year. And
how's his jump shot?
Oh, terrific. Yeah. Oh, he's got a great jump shot. His mid-range jump shot is great. He's a good three-point shooter. But the one thing he does, that's his specialty. He's a lot like Bates Diop.
Okay.
When he gets that ball around 18 to 15 feet, he can jump up and shoot it.
Yeah.
And make it.
How does Brad Underwood close the deal for him?
Well, he's a junior. I mean, you close the deal in December, I suppose,
right?
You know. Now, all you can do is just stay close and hope that when the time comes, you know, we'll be battling. So much depends. I mean, that's a long time off. There's a game is going to be played before then. There's all kinds of things that will happen with the Illinois team. We'll have some more guys leave. We're going to have some more guys come in. So, I mean, it's too complicated right now. I mean, I think that they were selling him. They were selling him on the idea. Now, you'll replace Black. Well, somebody else is going to replace Black before he does. So, you know, things change. And I don't think a month ago anybody had any idea that Black would be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of it until, a few days ago when we found out.
It makes sense. I think you just – you know, you don't piece it all together when you're sitting out here going, oh, okay, there's a guy that's going to graduate and is getting married and needs money. It makes sense for him.
He needs money. His mother needs money. And, you know, his girlfriend, I mean, his fiance, is she going to be able to get, if he stayed another year, would she be able to get a job? What would she do the next year? I mean, it was a complicated thing. And he wanted to turn pro and he wants to make some money. And I think that he feels like he's got X number of years to make money. And if he stayed here another year, that would just be one less year he would have.
E.J. Liddell, going back to him for a second, Lauren, what do you see maybe – do you think it help? How much do you think it helps Illinois? Because I think after his upcoming AU season with the spring and the summer, I could easily see Kansas, North Carolina, the Blue Bloods trying to get in on his recruitment. How much of an advantage do you think Brad Underwood and his staff will have just by being in on the ground floor from the get-go?
Oh, I think it's a big advantage. I don't think Kansas is going to be involved. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they might come late.
Yeah.
When they come hard. But I think the key to getting Liddell is getting Courtney Ramey. I think if you get Ramey this year and bring him in at point guard, and he would be the point guard at Illinois in coming years, I think that would influence Liddell. They're both from the same region. They know each other. And, with DeSumo and Ramey and Frazier, you got some real guards. You got a pretty good three-guard lineup.
Oh, it'd be outstanding. I think it's just a question of what you can get in the front court. Like I said, now you got to replace LeRon Black. You got to hope Samba Cain can be pretty productive from the get-go. You need Greg Eboy-Bodine to do a lot more. You need him to mature. And, you know, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle, but I'm kind of less than optimistic about a winning campaign this coming year.
Yeah, you can't be positive about it right this minute. They've got to replace Black.
Yeah, and if they pull some rabbits out of their hat or
and
something.
We don't know how the center situation. We just don't know enough about Kane yet to know whether he's going to be the kind of player that's going to help them win games or not.
Seton Hall has defeated NC State 94-83. So they will meet Kansas in Wichita. That's basically a home game for the Jayhawks in that regional there on, what's today, Thursday. So they'll do that on Saturday. I can't remember what's
all
what
right,
here.
The days blur together, Scott.
Hey, I just want you to know, in the eight games that have been played so far, I'm 8-for-8 in my bracket.
There you go.
I picked Loyola, and everybody else has held seed, and I just went with that.
How's your bracket, Lauren?
I didn't make one.
When's the last time you made a bracket?
I never made one.
You know, Bob Ospison made his crazy bracket the other day that you decided to publish there, Matt. But he did have three Big Ten teams going to the Final Four.
I don't know.
But, okay, so I'll ask it this way. Which Big Ten team do you think now has the best chance at being in the Final Four. And I mean, look, it's a coin toss, but I put with Villanova over Purdue. So I think Purdue gets a bad draw.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is benefited from the extended time off just to get Vincent Edwards back more fully healthy and, kind of get them refreshed and recharged. And Michigan State's in a tough region just based on the sheer number of blue bloods that are in there. You got Kansas and Duke as the 1-2 seeds. And if Michigan State, Duke meet in the Sweet 16, if the seeds play out, I mean, Duke's dominated that series historically. And Marvin Bagley, I don't know how you stop him. Jaren Jackson Jr. could match up with him well, but Marvin Bagley's a beast.
Still comes down to who makes the three-pointer.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
I picked Loyola. I knew he was going to make that long three at the end of the game.
Yeah,
I think Michigan might have the possible best path. Their region isn't a stacked region. They're going to have to knock off North Carolina at some point, possibly in the Sweet 16. And North Carolina did beat the Wolverines earlier this year in Chapel Hill. But John Beilein's an incredible coach. And like Lauren said, it really comes down to who's shooting well from outside. And I think they've got enough guys that can make
The
make
thing
triples.
About Michigan is they have found some ways to win ball games. They have a knack for the late game situations and have found some good last-minute layups. I picked them out of it's not because I'm that confident, but I picked them. Xavier, I think, is the weakest number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe Michigan, go back to the 93 final and want some revenge.
Just watch Duke and Carolina. That's all I'm saying. Just watch out.
Well, if you're a smart man, you never bet against them, right? But
they're both very good.
Yeah.
And they're both extremely talented.
Just my heart could not eat.
The other one that we don't know what to expect is Arizona. They may mm-hmm. be better than anybody realizes.
Yeah, my heart wouldn't let me go with that either.
Well,
I know.
Arizona's got reasons.
Arizona's the only Pac-12 team left.
If Virginia goes all
us against the world.
Yeah.
Arizona against the world.
Virginia goes all the way. It's going to be a really boring national championship game. But
yeah, I don't foresee that happening, especially with Hunter out now. He's kind of their difference maker, kind of the X factor. Added some athleticism, but with him out, I could see their run ending possibly this weekend. Who knows? Maybe Bruce Weber knocks him out.
We're back in a moment to wrap up Sports Talk at Scotty's Brewhouse.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Sports Talk at Scotty's Brewhouse. We are coming into the final lap, home stretch here. Scott and Matt with you, and Lauren Tate had to depart for a function. And Scotty's Brewhouse here, by the way, does feature a gluten-free menu if that's something you need. I know that's something now that is important to our family, so come on and check it out. Great menu here, and, of course, 64 TVs to take in March Madness. If you missed some of the headlines from today, the seeds have held in the games that have played, except Loyola has upended Miami 64-62, so 8 games in the books here on the first round of 32 games today in the NCAA tournament. And Matt Daniels, sports editor for the News Gazette. That means a lot of things to fill up the pages with tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have stuff on more in-depth story on the Ron Black leaving Illinois. Got to look at 5 recent former Illini that have won state titles after they've signed with Illinois, with Io DeSumo getting the chance this weekend from Morgan Park in Peoria. Also got a story about Augie Garrido's passing. Talked to Dan Hartlib this afternoon, and a lot of high school sports coverage as well.
Best of luck to Illinois wrestlers Isaiah Martinez and Mike Carr as they advance in their rounds, and that session gets going in just a few minutes. So they'll continue their bid to be national champions. Isaiah Martinez looking for his third. Thanks so much to hockey coach Nick Fabrini and goalie David Heflin from Club Hockey from Illinois. Blake Landa behind the scenes. Thanks to our host at Scotty's Brewhouse. This is News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Good night.